This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
All right, welcome back. So as soon as this crisis started with Micah Parsons, yes, I said to myself, well, who could best analyze the actual system and the role that Jalen Hurts has in that system? Well, that's a no-brainer. Odyssey has our top insider. Nobody breaks down a tape better than the legendary Brian Baldinger. Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Angelo. How you doing?
Well, we're a little upset because we're being told that Hurts hasn't been that great this year. It's more the system. So you look at all this tape, Brian. Is Hurts a reason for the system working, or is the system the reason that Hurts is doing so well?
Jalen is the system. So just the way Lamar Jackson, when he was the league MVP, is the system, or Cam Newton in 2015 when he was the league MVP, and he was the system. And just the way Aaron Rodgers was the back-to-back MVPs. I mean, they make all the decisions every play. Run or pass, you know, whether it's an RPO, he makes all the decisions. And his decision-making is close to flawless. Now, Mike is making these comments. Maybe Mike should have been thinking about, you know, the Houston Texans last week when he didn't have a single pressure. Not a single – he didn't touch the quarterback once. Like, maybe he should be thinking about Jacksonville this week that will smoke Dallas if they're thinking ahead to Christmas Eve. So, Jalen's been an incredible player that only gets better. We just don't see any team in this league, Angelo, in this day and age, blow three teams out in a row. Green Bay, Tennessee, and what they did to the Giants last week. We don't see that. I don't care what the team's records are. Dallas, like, they were 98 yards away from getting beat by the Houston Texans last week. So the fact that they're just blowing teams out, like, there is no system. There's just great players, and their best player is the quarterback.
Beautifully said, Brian. I need you to break this down a little more, though, because we're all marveling at how accurate he's been, how tremendous he's been, seeing the field. What is he doing this year that he didn't do as well the first two seasons in the NFL?
Well, I mean, first of all, he's played a lot more football. You know, so he started his first four games, the last four games of his rookie season. He went through the season last year. They did not have A.J. Brown or anybody like him. Now, he's, you know, every MVP has got, you know, an elite receiver to throw it to, just the way Aaron Rodgers had Davante Adams, a guy that you can trust to put the ball up in the air in a contested situation or a one-on-one situation, and you feel like your receiver is better than their defensive back, and they continually do that. It's a great relationship. He's had an entire offseason to get healthy. He wasn't healthy at the end of the season last year. He had ankle surgery, but he never said anything or, you know, I mean, I was just sort of behind the scenes. But he's been fully healthy. He had another offseason to train and to study and to prepare. And so he's seen, it's like a hitter, you know, going up against a pitcher. You've seen all the pitchers. And now you kind of know what pitch you're waiting on. And I think that's kind of a little bit the analogy that I would use with seeing Dallas now for another time. They've played Dallas a lot better this year than they did last year, obviously, you know, and all the other teams in the division. So I think that's it. And then I just think he's seeing the field really good. He's not just taking off and running the way he did his rookie year or at times last year. I mean, he's staying in there and he's going through progressions. And, you know, the offense is a lot more consistent this year with the way that they're game planning than they were a year ago when one week they look like a Big 12 offense, another week. They look like, you know, something that we didn't expect, you know. I mean, so they were more than just a running team now this year. They've got the three receivers that they put out there every week, Angelo, are a really good trio with Devontae, with Smitty and with Quez and with AJ. I mean, that's pretty elite group right there.
Absolutely. Odds makers, all the pundits on TV, Brian, are arguing Hurts versus Mahomes. If you had a vote, who would get your vote right now at this stage in the season?
I don't think it's close. I think it's Hurts way ahead of Patrick. And I'm the biggest Patrick Mahomes fan there is, but I mean, he's run for 400 more yards. You can say, well, Mahomes has more touchdown passes and yards. Well, he's thrown 123 more passes than Jalen Hurts has. He's run for 10 touchdowns. His touchdown to interception ratio is lower. He's got a much better team than Kansas City. Now, if they play head to head, you know, might be fun to see that. But, you know, against the competition that Jalen has lined up with for 13 games, I don't think it's a close race at this point.
Awesome. I got to ask you the other thing. Brian Baldinger was a terrific offensive lineman in the NFL for a long time, too. We talk all the time about how good the Eagles' offensive line is. I love, Brian, when they run the football, but I still don't sense they're totally committed to it. Could you explain to me how Miles Sanders got 1,000 yards, how much those guys up front helped him to get there?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, you know, they ran the same damn play with Lane Johnson pulling against Green Bay 11 times. You know, they just double up plays. You know, a running back, if you get enough carries, you know, they're going to get the rhythm. He's a big part why they would run the same play 11 times. I mean, Lane got tired of pulling. He's never pulled that much in his life. But, you know, they run for 27 touchdowns, Angelo. Like, nobody's close to him.
Yeah.
27 touchdowns on the ground. There's teams that aren't even close to scoring 27 touchdowns yet. They've done that just running. They're the best short yardage and goal line team in the league, and it's not even close. And why people aren't trying to copy what they do in short yardage and goal line at every level of football is just astounding to me. Because they get in that formation where they just push Jalen from behind, and they succeed every time. And there's teams that are losing games because they can't gain a yard when they got to gain a stinking yard. Like, they should just watch the Eagles and copy it.
It's beautiful. I just got to know, because you played into your 30s, Brian. Kelce and Lane Johnson are both past 30. Kelce's like mid-30s. How hard is it to do that as an offensive lineman? Doesn't it take longer to recover? Isn't it harder to play after you're 30?
Well, Lane's a different beast, all right? I mean, the way that he plays and the way that he trains and takes care of himself and the body that he has, he's a little better shape than Jason. Jason is just a treasure. Like, I can't even imagine what he feels like during the week, as beat up as he is. You watch that guy walk around, it's, you know, he's hurting. But he just loves the game so much that he just puts it out of his mind and he plays the games. I thought 3 years ago when they lost to New Orleans in a playoff game that he was going to retire. I mean, I thought he seriously, you know, contemplated it, and he did. But he just keeps coming back. I don't know if this is, you know, the final go-round for Jason. I don't know how much longer the body can hold up. But he's an amazing, amazing person. And he's been an amazing player. Because he put Dexter Lawrence last week on his back. And Dexter Lawrence outweighs him by at least 60 pounds, maybe more. And he's, you know, 8 years younger. And he put him on his back. I mean, that's just, you know, I don't know how he did it.
Ryan, we learned so much having you out. I can't thank you enough for doing this. It's an honor to have you on our show breaking this stuff down. And I hope Micah Parsons hears what you said when you broke that down.
Brian, I'm friends with Micah. He knows what I say.
Oh,
you know, I'm just gonna spit the truth. Micah better get ready for Jacksonville. I know that.
Brian, thank you, my friend. We'll talk soon. Thanks, buddy.
Okay,
Brian,
yep.
Baldinger. Al, was that good breakdown? That's a breaking down.
Yes.
Micah Parsons, in your face. All right, on the line now, Al, is emerging in the final weeks of our show as one of our best singers ever. Mm-hmm. Her name is Debbie, and she writes original songs. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Angelo. Good morning. That's quite the build-up. I hope I live up to that.
Well, you have been doing some great Eagle songs. Have you created another one for us, Deb?
You know what? This was a family writing session. My husband came up with the concept. I had gone to the marijuana dispensary, and we wrote as a family. It was lovely.
All right. Well, I got to tell you something, Deb. I have been told that pot in you know, moderation in a legal setting is a good creative device. Was it, did it help your husband and you to be more creative?
It was wonderful, and I have one really good line in the song, and maybe you'll be able to pick it out.
All right, Deb, let's hear your song that you and your husband wrote.
Now, I have to give you a little bit of build-up, Angela, because I know you're a radio guy.
Very much.
It's a one-hit wonder from the 70s.
Ooh.
Based on a song by Paper Lace called The Night Chicago Died.
Oh, I love that song. Let's hear this, Deb, let's hear this.
In the cold of a winter day, Eagle fans looked for thrills. The Chicago Bears' hope died. The birds swooped in for the kill. When a man named Jalen Hurts gave the Bears' defense the squirts. As he ran that RPO, they didn't know which way to go. I heard the Bears fans sigh as the Eagles fans sang, fly, Eagles, fly. 13-1, here we come. 13-1, here we come. That bye we need. There was shouting in the stands. Eagle fans all clapped their hands. In the end, we all could see Soldier Field was a sea of green. I heard the Bears fans cry as once again they watched Chicago die. 13-1, here we come. 13-1, it's going to be fun. Yes, indeed. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, go Birds.
Oh, Deb, that was phenomenal. What a voice you got. Hey, Deb, I'm going to take a wild shot at the line that the pot gave you the creativity to do. Did it end with the word squirts?
It might have, yes.
There you have it.
Good job. Ding, ding, ding.
Deb, I don't know how you do it. Deb, who would you love to meet if you could meet anybody?
Living or dead?
No, living.
Living. Boy, I didn't put a lot of thought into that. Probably Stevie Nicks. I love her.
Stevie Nicks.
He'll be in town this summer.
That solid. Ironic. One of our prizes is to watch her perform.
Come on.
In a concert with Billy Joel. It's at the Link in June 16th. The tickets are going on sale at Ticketmaster tomorrow at 10 a.m. Be ready for that. That's going to, that's 68,000 seats out. They'll sell it.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll sell it. Come on. 215. I got room for you now. I got John, Nick, Walter, Joe, and you. You will get on. 215-592-9494. We're asking because Bill Belichick put on the 2006 Pro Bowl team a long snapper so that Bill could meet Pam Anderson, who the man was dating. And then what happened was the guy did not bring Pam with her. And then Bill insulted the man on the field.
Mm.
And I'm pretty sure he had a couple of bad snaps.
No doubt.
215-592-9494. When we come back, Al, I've done a little extra work today.
Okay.
And I'm going to help the Eagles and Shane Steichen come up with the game plan. Because it's going to be very basic on Sunday. And I'll explain to you what they need to do to win this game easily. All right, 7:24. I don't want anybody thinking I'm trying to sneak away from the comments I made at the beginning of the show where I attacked Glenn Macnow, a good friend. And I'm going to read his tweet a second. And I attacked all three people that are coming over from the midday show.
Very helpful.
James Seltzer, Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. And then who else did I attack? Those were the main guys. And the reason I attacked them is they don't think it's a big deal that Micah Parsons said, it's really the system, it's not Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you just heard Brian Baldinger laugh at that and say that he's going to get in Micah's face because they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think they're going to be friends after that. All right. But I just want you to know that. And just so you understand what Macnow said, because I love Glenn. Glenn's like one of my best friends. And I don't have friends out. But he said, maybe it's just me, but I'm not seeing where Micah Parsons really insulted Jalen Hurts. Mostly, he just praised the Eagles as a team and said Hurts was part of that. He did not say that. He basically said the success of the team could be any quarterback, and Hurts just happened to be in the right place at the right time with all these weapons and this great line.
Yeah.
To that, all right? And to all the other people that said that, and I have already invited, I do expect before the end of this show to hear from James Seltzer, to hear from Joe DiCamera, to hear from John Ritchie, and to hear how idiotic their side is. And then I would like to believe, Al, after this assault on their credibility, that they will see it my way.
What time's their show?
10.
Okay.
It's when you'll see them.
It's good, Al. It's good that you're a team guy. I want to get this other thing in. Sorry, Ava, 1 second. Ladies and gentlemen, I am now going to give you, Al, I did not need more than 5 minutes to develop my game plan for Sunday in Chicago. Here's what I did.
Show up.
I'm just going to show you how. No, Al, see, this is the problem. The minute you think you won a game, you didn't win the game. You got to be ready to play. All right, you got to be ready to play. Rhea's right. Washington, the Eagles are way better than Washington. They lost here. Yes. That should not have happened. So here's the thing. It's just simple. I go right away out. I Google Chicago weather 10-day. All right? I go to Sunday. High, 31 degrees.
Ooh, cool.
Starting temperature when they at 1 o'clock in Chicago, 28 degrees. Winds. That does not include the wind chill. Winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Second thing I do, Bears run defense. Run defense, because that's running weather. It's cold, it's windy, running weather.
Yeah.
They absolutely stink at stopping the run.
Okay.
4.7 yards per carry, 21 touchdowns, the most in the league on the ground. You got a 1,000-yard runner in Miles Sanders. Rhea, does any of this add up for you yet? You pick it up what my plan is?
Yes, you would like to run the ball?
Run the ball. Oh, wait, and then after that, run the ball.
Run the ball.
And then keep running the ball. Save Hurts. Save everybody. Run the ball.
Run a little bit more, Gainwell and Scott.
I'm going to tell you, I just want you to.
What do you want to do after that?
Run the ball.
Thank you, Montreal. And I just want you to understand why I'm making a big thing of this. Because I'm telling you, the Eagles lost their punter because they forgot to do that.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
On Sunday with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. They're back at their 8-yard line. All right? I'm going to play for you the 4 plays that follow. Because you are, Al, they're up 21 to nothing. They have a 3-touchdown lead. It's raining out, right? And these are the otherwise they played a great game.
Yeah.
But this sequence was mind-boggling. Listen.
On first down, Hurts backs into the end zone. He loads up. He is going deep, and it is incomplete this time. Gives it off. Miles Sanders. He just takes the ball and lowers his shoulders and picks up 5 yards. Hurts in the gun again. Here comes the rush. He steps up. Penalty flag down. And Hurts is going to be sacked back near the 1-yard line. Aaron Sipison to punt for the first time. 8 yards deep, steps forward, and it's blocked. It's blocked, and it's rolling around and running down the sideline with it. Aaron Sipos.
And now he appears to be hurt.
You gave them 7 points because they had great field position. You ended up blowing out your punter probably for the season.
Yeah.
Right, Al. All you had to do there was run. You ran one time, and he ran right up 5 yards. If they'd have run 3 times, you think they'd have got the first down? I'm betting
they
yes.
They would have given themselves some breathing room.
Why are you doing that? And on third down, 3rd and 5, do you want to pin yourself back against the end zone so the guy doesn't have 15 yards to punt the ball? The whole game was great, except for that.
Yeah, it cost yourself
and
your punter.
I'm telling you, Al, if I was the coach, I'd close the door. I'd sit down with Shane Steichen and I go, Shane, take me through the thinking on those plays. Because that's not logical. That's not just basic logical thinking when you're pinned up against in the rain, you're at your 8-yard line, and you got a great running attack.
I was shocked by this.
Run the ball.
It was
right?
the only thing. You can't fault Sirianni for anything that he's done or Steichen because they've been great. But they do some curious things at strange times, and that was one of them.
That was bad. And don't overthink it. Just run the ball. You've got a great line that loves to run it, and you saved the season a year ago. Those guys are still there. Take advantage of it. Run the ball.
Run the ball.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. It's the Windy City.
Yes.
Run the ball. Ava, where are we right now in our question of the day?
Well, it's brought to you by Armin Chevrolet. Looking to buy or lease a new Silverado? Armin Chevy is your Silverado truck headquarters. Find new roads at arminchevy.com. Do you want the Sixers to trade Joel Embiid? 84% say no.
See, so he's not reading that right at
all. That would be correct.
He didn't. I don't know where he got
that
from. He's got
to stop listening to Eskin on Saturday morning.
One other thing. I don't know that much about this Twitter stuff.
Yeah.
But it appears to me that Mac now, with that silly thing there, that it wasn't a diss at all, mm-hmm. which it most certainly was.
All right.
He got 1,189 likes. So who are those people?
I don't know.
Are those mostly from, are they all from Vineland?
Maybe from Dallas.
Are they from Vineland?
Maybe they're from, it could be. He's got a big following there.
Well, he's got a huge follower.
If you just tuned in, apparently Al found that the birthplace of the term moron is Vineland, New Jersey.
Yeah, they follow Glenn.
Stop, you guys are off.
Got a big...
You guys are rough.
No, we're not rough. We're trying to understand. We come in every day, Alibi, and you know what we're thinking?
I'm thinking it's almost 10.
It's true, he does think that.
No, what we're thinking is, by the end of this show, we'll be smarter than when we started.
Any day now.
And someday it's actually going to happen.
Hello, everybody.
John's on the line from Center City. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today?
We're doing fine, John. But this Parsons thing, man, Christmas Eve is going to be nuts, isn't it?
Christmas Eve is going to be an incredible game, and I can't wait for it. And listen, if you take the Micah Parsons comments in just the comments alone, I can see what they're saying. But when you put in this the chuckle and the laugh,
yep.
There's no way you can look at that any other way than being disrespectful. And the fact that, you know, we had already beat them and handled them, he didn't do anything against us. He didn't do anything against the Texans. Like, who is this guy, you know, to criticize us and to criticize our quarterback? But you know what? Let us focus on this week's game, and I can pretty much guarantee that Milano's going to handle that next week on Christmas Eve.
You know what it is, John? I realize why I was so upset from it. Because watching Hurts all these games and being as awestruck as I am by how brilliant and consistent he has been, if you can't see that and it's this obvious, what hope do you have of really understanding what you're talking about? This is one of the easiest things. You just heard Brian Baldinger. He said the MVP race, it's not even close, that this is the best player. Brian Baldinger doesn't work for the Eagles. He works in the country nationwide, and he's telling you that. And he's breaking down film every day. How do these people not see what is so obvious?
You know, that's a great question, Angelo, and I can only attribute. They're morons.
I think you're out to something. Yeah, they're dumb.
They must be from violence.
All right, again, and I don't want to say, Al did this. Now it's getting out of control. I'm not saying there aren't smart people in violence. What we're saying is the term moron emanated from violence in the 1800s.
Don't they grow tomatoes for some soup company there?
Do they really?
I don't really know, but I think I heard that.
If it's a soup company, I think that's a nice tomato. It's a
good, no, it might be the other one, the Italian one.
Progresso? Anyway, Progresso, that's a nice soup. Who doesn't like that soup?
It's a solid soup.
John! John!
Oh my God.
Give me somebody you would love to meet.
I would love to meet Penelope Cruz.
Very nice. She is stunningly beautiful.
Classy.
And Al, do you know that Ruben Amaro Jr., this whole story was about meeting Pam Anderson. Bill Belichick put that long snapper on the team so he could meet Pam Anderson, and then the long snapper didn't bring Pam with him, even though he was dating her. You met Pam Anderson.
Yep.
Where did you meet Pam Anderson?
Cleveland.
What year?
It was 1994.
Oh, Baywatch.
He was dating Roberto Alomar.
She was dating the guy who spit on John Hirschbeck, the umpire?
That's the guy.
All right, okay. So at least we know when they're kissing, it's kind of wet. All right, so.
Oh, my God.
Bless.
All right, no, here's.
How do you turn something so nice?
No, but tell me what it was like. How did this happen?
We were in a mall, and we were there. I was there in Cleveland. I don't know the reason why. I think it was at a Neiman Marcus or something like that. And we were walking around, and I saw Robbie. I said hello to him, and I looked around the corner, and there she was. And she was, leafing through some of the dresses or something.
And?
I met her. I said hello. She was stunning.
Stunning?
Very attractive, yes.
Top 10?
Oh, yeah.
Top 5?
Nope.
Heard Merrill Reese, the legendary broadcaster yes. for the Eagles, dissing ESPN. All I am about to ask you now is totally hypothetical. All right, Al, because there's no indication that we would ever get the approval to be able to take a ESPN logo, mm-hmm. I don't know, 4 to 6 feet in length, ooh. Place it down, mm-hmm. and then go up around 4 to 5 stories high,
mm-hmm.
and drop ripe fruit onto the logo, mm-hmm. thereby making it into a godforsaken mess.
Right.
If that were to happen, however, right. hypothetically.
Immature.
One thing that we might need, Al, is some large rotting food. Right?
Oh, or just older.
Particularly
yeah.
like a overripe watermelon or cantaloupe or honeydew.
Any type of melon, yeah.
Or really, even a big bucket of ripe tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody is listening who might have access to that fruit.
Don't bring them here today.
Not today. But call me so I can make hypothetical arrangements for next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Al, totally hypothetical.
Mm-hmm, right. I was in the supermarket the other day.
Were you squeezing some melons?
I know that the person there told me that they're all in. So.
They're in?
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. But I need a lot. Because
yeah.
when it's done, I want you to see mainly the remains of fruit and lots of seeds and a lot of liquid.
Liquid.
And then I would like somebody to take a photo of it and then send it to ESPN.
What a steaming pile of frijoles.
What?
Yeah. A steaming pile is what we're aiming
yeah,
for.
Right.
That's exactly what yeah. we're aiming for. All right, I got to get this in because I am sitting next to a former Major League Baseball general manager. And yesterday, Noah Syndergaard, who was a prominent figure on the Phillies in the final weeks, he signed with the L.A. Dodgers 1 year, $13
yeah.
million.
It's a good deal.
A lot of money.
Nah,
yeah,
that's a pretty. He was at $20 million last year.
So let me review. Syndergaard gets 1 year with the Dodgers. Eflin gets a deal with the Rays.
Yep.
And Kyle Gibson gets a deal with the Orioles. That is three of your starting pitchers at the beginning of last year. That's three you have eliminated. And you have added one, Taiwan Walker.
Correct.
Very nice pitcher.
Yes.
But 3-1 means it appears we need two more. Or at least one more, please. One more.
I like depth. I would love to have one more. And I think that they're probably looking into that possibility. Now, they are thinking that at some point you might have Painter
yeah, he's
up there.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
At some
Can
point.
We stop with Painter?
Why?
I did some research on Painter. Mm. He's 19 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But he doesn't pitch like a 19-year-old.
He can't drink yet. He has not pitched above the A level. Are his numbers great? Yeah, they are.
Oh, he pitched in double A last year, I think.
I didn't notice. Double. I looked through the things. I didn't see much double A work. Yeah, he's three rungs from the big leagues.
He's going to be a good one.
Yes. All right. And you told me Don Brown was going to be two, so I'm not too sure about you.
He was for a minute.
Allie had that one great month.
Yeah,
oh, what a month.
Six weeks.
For 6 weeks, Ruben Amaro's walking around. I told you he was five tools. Then we found out he was one tool.
No toolbox.
Anyway, I need a rope. I need one more of these guys.
I think that you will at some point get a depth starter.
I will.
And I'm sure Dave Dombrowski's working on it.
I would like, am I asking too much here? Carlos Rodon?
That's a little high on the ask.
Why?
It's a 7-year dealer he's looking for.
Excuse me.
Probably around $30 million a year.
The guy that owns the Mets, is he seem worried about that?
Well, he's done some foolish things too now.
He's a $345 million payroll.
He doesn't care. When you sign a guy like Brandon Nimmo for 8 years, you're a dope.
It's too. Oh, really?
Dopey.
Ooh, Ruben Amaro attacking the owner of the Mets. Anything else you want to say
viral? I'm not attacking him. I'm just attacking the decision. That's a lot of years for a decent outfielder.
All right, would you give 13 to Correa?
Absolutely not.
You would not?
Not
you don't like
million.
Any of these big deals.
I don't. They're too long, but you got to pay to play.
I think the Turner one is
amazing compared to the rest of them.
Yep. So 11 with Turner at 28. That makes sense to you? You could do that?
None of it makes sense, but, you know. But if you want the player, you got to make the move.
Wow. All right. Well, I would like to see the maybe even higher, but to me, pitching is a lot. And you got rid of three and you only got one back. That's not good math. I think you need to do something there. That's all I'm saying. Let me go next to Nick in the Northeast. Hi, Nicky.
Yes, gang.
Nick, I'm not hearing you well.
Hold on.
All right, wait a minute. He's doing
can
something.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, much better, Nick. What did you want to say today?
I just want to talk about the Eagles and how everyone's hyped about Christmas Eve, but if everything goes right, Christmas Eve won't even matter.
Well, what do you mean? You think that the Cowboys will lose this
Cowboys
week?
Cowboys are going to lose. Doug Peterson's going to give us an early Christmas gift.
I'm going to tell you
that
something.
That would be awesome.
Nick, it would not be awesome. Nick, I'm going to tell you the truth. My wife yesterday announced to the family she's going buffet so that people can remain in proximity to the screen.
She's very smart.
And here's the thing, Nick. If the game doesn't matter, the Eagles aren't going to win it, and then I'm going to be sad for Christmas.
What are you talking about? Gardner Minshew's going to beat the Cowboys, and they're going to even look more pathetic.
All right, and what if he doesn't? What if the Cowboys win?
The Cowboys stink. I hate them. They stink. They're not winning. They're terrible.
Here's the bottom line. Nick, if the Eagles were somehow not to win that game on Christmas Eve, would it ruin your holiday?
99%, yeah, but I got three young kids, so I mean, like, a part of me is I can't fully die. I still got to be a little alive for them.
I understand, Nick, but deep down, you're not that happy. You're not humming Deck the Halls. You know what I'm saying? I think what you need is
Deck Micah Parsons.
Nick, I'm going to tell you. Yeah, that's it. Deck Micah Parsons. Nick, here's the bottom line. That's all I want for Christmas. I don't want a car.
Parsons in a pear tree.
I don't want a chainsaw, Nick. Nick, I don't want new socks.
Who gets a chainsaw for Christmas?
These are manly gifts. No, all I want is a win in that game. That's all I'm asking for.
Oh, man. I do, too. All right, Cowboys suck, though.
All right, Nick, you're really a deep thinker. I like it. Nick, give me somebody you'd love to meet.
The hide-and-seek champion, my real dad.
His real dad, oh? Is that what he said?
The hide-and-seek champion?
All right, you know what? He hung up, Al, so he's not eligible. But he would really enjoy meeting his real dad.
Okay.
That went in a direction I wasn't ready for. Walt is up next from Brookhaven. Hi, Walter.
Good morning, everybody. How you guys doing?
We're great, Walt. What's happening, pal?
There's something you guys don't understand that you didn't listen to in the conversation with Mike Parsons.
Okay.
He understands football. He knows all about football. Obviously, you guys don't know all about football. You guys have only been doing this for 33 years.
All right, hold on, Walt. I want to make sure you're quoting him correctly. Here's Parsons.
I'm not trying to make no enemies. I just love the game so much, and I understand it so much.
You're right. He was saying that he's so brilliant. In those years he was at Penn State, he learned so much that he's smarter than us.
Yeah, he's smarter than everybody. He's a cowboy. He has to know everything.
Right. So, but then he went on to say that it was the system. It wasn't Hurts. That Hurts, anybody in that system would be that good because you got a great line. You got all these other weapons. Anybody could do it.
Yeah, I could do it. I mean, put me back there. I could probably do it.
Walter, aren't you old? How old are you?
Yeah, I'm 61.
You can't do it. You're too old, Walter.
It's a system.
Your arm is gone, Walt.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Where are these? Glenn Macnow, how could you tweet this out? How could you do it, Macnow? James Seltzer, what the hell is wrong with you? How did you do this on this show? You sullied this show with that dumb remark.
You sully it every day.
I sully it. I earned the right to sully it.
James is here, by the way, if you'd like to chat with him.
Oh, get him in here right now. All right, Walter.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that only half the people at WIP are mad about this.
No, I don't understand that. Ike Reese is mad. He played the game. John Ritchie, maybe he took a shot too many. What do I know?
He did bleed from the head at one point.
I think he did. John Ritchie and Joe DeCamera, Walter, they're going to be on this show, Walt. And they came on yesterday and said, no big deal, when the number one player on the Cowboys dissed the number one player on the Eagles, no big deal. How do you say that?
They're not going to be good fill-ins for you, that's for sure.
That is not true.
Well, they're going to be, but see what's
happening.
Get in here, Seltzer. What's happening right now, Walter, is this is the educational phase. Tell them, Al.
Oh, yeah, this is where you learn.
This is where we teach the next guys coming in that what's important.
The moronic mentorship.
All right, shut up. Would you just, what do you know? You went to Stanford. You went on an athletic scholarship. You didn't earn it. Walter, give me somebody you want to meet.
I want to meet somebody my own age and who is spectacular and somebody that Ray Dinger turned down. Christy Brinkley.
Yeah. You know what? Walter's thinking clearly. Now, Rube is the judge, but now Christy Brinkley is phenomenal.
Yeah.
She's in her 60s. Yeah, all right, James Seltzer. So hold on, Joe. Could you play Seltzer first before I talk to the live version? So he came out here at 9:40 yesterday after the Parsons thing came out.
Yeah.
And here's what he said.
I didn't bristle at it the way a lot of people did. When I listened to it, it sounded like he was, you know, he was trying not to say something. It was kind of like a little on the line. I don't know. I don't take it too personally. Like,
Seltzer, take that back.
It's hard to argue with you there, Andrew.
Come on, James, he's their best player, and we got Hurts, and he's saying that anybody in that system could do what Hurts is doing.
But what did Hurts say? Hurts said, I'm on to Chicago. Belichicked him.
Well, that's what's great.
What Micah Parsons has to say. He's a stinking cowboy.
That's why you care, because he's a cowboy talking bad about your team, and it's miracle season. If you're not getting mad about that, what are you getting mad about?
I can't get mad about anything, Andrew. I got the best team in football. I'm watching potentially, if it finishes outright, the best team in the history of Philadelphia. Like, that's the
you're
upside
right.
of this team. I know how great Jalen Hurts is. Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the NFL right now, today. Like, what do I care what Micah Parsons has to say? He can say whatever the hell he wants. We beat them. They can go out and beat them again. It just doesn't bother me. Like, I don't take it personally.
I want you to understand. So.
Yes.
Oh, boy. I'm
sit
leaving
down
the studio.
And
you're
taking over day part. We're the current hosts, one of the hosts. Everything bothers. If the wind is blowing the wrong way,
yeah.
I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
If we are suddenly shrugging at potential big issues, come on. This is Al, isn't it the essence of being a sports fan
right.
to get angry at the other team?
If it's cloudy out, we call God at 6 o'clock.
James, get mad. And then give me the other guys, John and Joe, because I think you know what I learned about that show?
What is it?
I may be wrong. What? The brains of that operation is Seltzer.
Yeah.
And I think that he tells them what to think. Because once
you're giving me way too much.
You gotta understand,
here.
Seltzer 9:40 makes that comment.
Mm-hmm.
Here's 10 o'clock.
I don't feel offended. Really? I think he's being cautious in what he's saying. You know, we had our caller say, hey, no one's going out there and putting bulletin board material up against our team.
Yep.
Like, I don't think Micah Parsons did either.
I agree.
I think he's being very careful and respectful.
You see, when those guys agree, they're wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I was like, those.
That's a bad point, right?
Let me just say,
it's the best point I've heard all morning, Al.
Yesterday, our replacements 0-for-3.
Just saying.
That's Seltzer. The name of the new show, The Replacements.
Seltzer, I'm glad we had this out. I feel better now.
Here, all right, Angela, just real
get
quick.
Mad easy.
Real quick. I take it all back.
Thank you.
So angry.
All right.
I am angry.
There you go. See, this is what you call grooming the next show.
Let's use another word.
All right, you're right. Can't say that word anymore.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
We are sharing our wisdom.
That is someone right there lying to your face to tell you what you want to hear.
I don't think so, Rhea. Rhea, I would know when people are lying.
He's going to have a long marriage.
You've never lied to me once, Rhea, and there's no reason you would ever do that.
You're absolutely right.
Uh-oh.